I want you to know that I always enter the pulpit with a bit of anxiety. Not whether people will like my sermon, but is it true to the Hebrew and Christian scripture, authentic from my heart and my mind? In other words, is it real in the worldview we've come to understand in our time? And I study and pray a lot. So for approval, my primary audience is God. Secondly, you. Having sufficiently raised your anxiety level, here goes. Luke recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul stood before the whole council of the Areopagus and made this speech. Men of Athens, I've seen for myself how extremely scrupulous you are in all religious matters, because I noticed, as I strolled around admiring your sacred monuments, that you had an altar inscribed to an unknown god. Well, the God whom I proclaim is, in fact, the one whom you already worship without knowing it. I think we may be in that same situation right now in our country. People rejecting a God they don't even know, never heard about. You see, Athens had been the intellectual, cultural, and educational center of the known world. The Areopagus, the judicial body responsible, now listen, for criminal and religious offenses. An interesting combination. In that context, Paul was telling them, God doesn't exist in a world apart, but announced himself in Jesus. Now, too many Christians worship in ignorance, not knowing the real deal. My heart goes out to people on the street on a Sunday morning, walking their dog. I saw a number of people jogging this morning, going to farmer's market, walking past churches, no thought of going to church even considered. My heart goes out to people who didn't get past Sunday school or even confirmation because what they experienced in life had little contact with what they learned in church. My heart goes out to people who never give Jesus a serious look, as the church focused on a kind of magic man, more like ancient Greek gods walking around, no focus on his way. Jesus was amazing. He deserves better. Followers of Jesus were called people of the way. I believe most people want something, someone they can trust, believe in. Speaking from personal experience, growing up in the church in general has failed to excite, educate, or challenge. The Anglican tradition attracted me with its three-legged stool of faith. Remember? Scripture, tradition, and reason. Reason, big time. Why the clergy here at St. Luke's keep telling people, don't leave your brain at the door. You and I are the lucky survivors of an innocent piety that assumes a simplistic, innocently literalist reading of the Bible. Every word, you know, written by God, having little to do with reality as we know it, because it was a different worldview. That divine personhood of Jesus hovers as background over all Jesus taught, in some way deflating it. Neglecting his insight, his words, his way of living life that would bring meaning, value, and purpose. Result? Growing secularism attitudes. The attitudes are, never mind. my wife Jill would say, okay, you've got the diagnosis. Now what? At Diocesan Convention 2014, I was asked to provide dinner entertainment with a portion of my musical, The Heavenly Host, performed by a ragtag collection of colleagues and parishioners. In that one scene, Jesus had just taught the Beatitudes, and his disciples were so excited they stopped, made camp, causing Jesus to be furious. So he sings, "You look at me and miss the point. You gaze at me and lack direction. I'm the pointer, not the point. I feel called to show the way. You hear my words with such affection. You've made a start with no direction. I'm a sign that's pointing somewhere. Don't cheer me on, go with me. Otherwise, you'll look at me and miss the point. The point is life. Follow me, don't stand there. Go with me, don't stop me here. It's the being, doing, seeing that will help you on the way. Along the way, you'll get the point. The point is life." A woman gushes, "But we're happy just being with you. I'm glad you found the gate, but the path is more important. If you stop too soon, a gate can be a barrier as well as an entrance. I didn't come here to substitute dependencies, but to help you find your own feet, to send you on your way. Get away from me. I'm not the answer, I'm the problem. Abba, Daddy," Jesus says to God, "all this attention focused on me when my eyes looked beyond. My hope was that they would follow and go beyond me to worlds I haven't seen, to questions I haven't asked yet, dilemmas I haven't known, and take the kingdom with them, beyond, within, among. My heart beats for them. I care so much. Why can't they hear? I show them independence. They're dependent on me. I show them how to live it. They prefer to watch and see." To the disciples, "You look at me, not where I'm going. You look at we and not the way. I dream a dream. You smile approval. The way's for you. And you admire me and miss the point." Now, I've learned to listen to stuff that happens. Preparing this sermon, writing those words, I decided to check one more time on another sermon for a memorial that weekend. It also involved the Beatitudes. Instead, by accident or God or whatever, my cursor hit a file received from Kelly Bohart, a friend who had been manager of Barnes & Noble here. Years ago, she had sent me words from a Jim Palmer, which hit me between the eyes then, and there it was now, for this time, an oh my God moment. As you probably know, I've never read another person's words for a sermon, but today I'm going to. And I think you'll see why. Especially relevant in view of people who, for good reason, struggle to believe. Good people who are hanging on or who've left the church, all ages, because they can't see an option for belief with integrity, mind and spirit together in this 20th, 21st centuries. Plus, what's happening in our own country right now, like gutting the civil rights, going backwards, hello Jim Crow. Worship inside the Pentagon with hate-filled nationalistic preaching and prayers having nothing to do with Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The abuse of Christianity, which seeks to control and not liberate. Imagine an Episcopalian saying, "Thank God for the Pope." Hear Jim's words about Jesus. "From my understanding of Jesus, I think they contain a lot of truth, a perspective needed to be heard by the church, by seekers, and I'm one of them. Listen to what Jim writes. Let's get one thing straight. Jesus was not a tame, airbrushed, blue-eyed mascot for polite religion. He wasn't a neatly groomed white guy cradling a lamb, sprinkling kindness like confetti, and telling everyone to behave. That version of Jesus is a religious invention, safe, sentimental, and completely useless. And the glowing halo? Please. That's not history, that's propaganda. The real Jesus was a troublemaker. He didn't come to prop up religion, he came to expose it. He confronted systems that used God as leverage to control, exploit, and divide people. Sound familiar? He flipped tables, cracked a whip, and publicly humiliated religious elites who confused power with holiness. Jesus had zero patience for institutions, religious or political, that claimed divine authority while crushing human dignity. Whether it flew under the banner of God or Caesar, Jesus wasn't buying it. Christianity came later. Jesus came first. And that Jesus was fierce, courageous, relentlessly honest. He stood toe-to-toe with empire and religion and refused to bow. He affirmed the inherent worth of every human being and shattered the lie that people were separated from God. His message wasn't obey and wait. It was wake up and look within. Heaven wasn't somewhere else. It was already here. Jesus didn't promise an escape plan. He announced an alternative way to be human. He challenged the lazy spirituality that sits around waiting for God to fix the world. He pushed people to take responsibility, to embody love, justice, and compassion themselves. And when people tried to turn him to object of worship, he shut it down. He didn't want fans, he wanted participants. He didn't say, admire me, he said, follow me. And when he raised the bar so high, most people walked away. Because following Jesus meant dying to ego. It meant giving up comfort. It meant telling the truth when it cost something. It meant confronting power and accepting the consequences. That's why he was executed. Religion charged him with blasphemy. Empire killed him for sedition. Jesus was a lightning rod, too free for religion, too dangerous for politics, and that's exactly why he mattered. Today, the church loves to ask, what would Jesus do? Come on, let's be honest. Very few people want to live the way Jesus lived. It's far easier to turn him into a belief system, sing about him once a week, slap a cross around your neck and call it faith. It's safer to celebrate Christmas and Easter than to dismantle injustice and confront your own complicity. Jesus didn't say, wear a cross. He said, carry one. In other words, stop playing religion. Let go of your illusions. Risk something. Speak truth to power. Expect resistance. Transformation always costs. The revolution Jesus started was never about worshiping him. It was about becoming like him. And that's a lot more demanding than a Sunday song. Deep breath. I know that's just one way to look at Jesus, but I found Jim's words penetrating, challenging, and I think pretty accurate. Think about it. That, I believe, is a portrayal of Jesus, a way people of all ages might be inspired to follow. I sure do. One good example of why Jesus is my guide, my way, and my Lord.